At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right. Well, college basketball is winding down. We are at the final four. Florida, Auburn, Duke, Houston. A lot of people will be getting their eyes on Cooper Flagg for the first time this weekend, probably. He's a pretty good basketball player, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so.
Plays for Duke.
Going to be the player of the year as a true freshman and probably lead them to a national championship.
He scores that ball. He passes that rock.
You're doing great.
He puts it in the basketball ring a lot. You know?
Mm-hmm. You and Teddy Cruz.
So the NBA scouts are out, and they are tossing out their Cooper Flagg comps.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that there's only one white. I mean, normally when we're comparing guys, we have to stick whites on whites.
I've got five of them here. Mm-hmm.
But only one is white.
Yeah.
I like that we're evolving, or there just isn't enough white guys that we can be like, yeah, that's him. Like, I was trying to think of, like, a 6'9", rangy, do-it-all white guy, and, like, the only one I can think of is Larry Bird, but you're saying they're not going Larry Bird.
Nope. More modern than Larry Bird.
More modern?
If you're looking for the white guy.
But you said he's not in the league currently.
He's not.
Who else is, like, a tall, rangy?
He was very tall.
Well, I would assume so. Flag's like what, 6'8", 6'9"?
Sure.
Sure.
They go in like even taller, like a Dirk Nowitzki type deal?
He doesn't shoot like Dirk. And Dirk didn't have an all-around game like that. That wouldn't be. Maybe you're going like a Rick Barry if you want it, but that's old school. Chris Mullen.
They have Flag at 6'9". This guy, 6'9".
6'9".
Yeah,
I can't think of someone that's white that has kind of an all-around game like that.
The white man they compare Cooper Flagg to is none other than the great Andre Kirilenko.
Ah!
Thank you.
I should have got that. I can see that because Kirilenko was a big deal for a little while. He never quite lived up to the hype, but he was awesome. He was kind of the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably most known because his wife let him once a year go out and do whatever he wanted. Kirilenko was really good. He just didn't, like I said, never quite grabbed anyone's attention the way a true star does. Well, look at his numbers.
So what they've done is they've broken this down into, okay, so they have a comp. Like they have a ceiling comp, like what he can be at his best.
Sure.
They have a floor comp, what he will be at his worst. They have an in his prime comp, a second star comp, and then the left field comp, and the left field comp was Andre Kirilenko.
Okay. I was going to say, because, you know, I'm looking.
That is kind of out of left field.
But. Yeah. I mean, Kirilenko had some good numbers, but, you know. He
led the league in blocks.
Did he really?
Yeah.
There was a couple times he was, Defensive Player of the Year, third. He was an MVP. He got some MVP votes 1 year, but he was never, you know, he was a 12-point guy. It was a 12-point guy, 5 rebounds. I can see if you're trying to do a
defense,
a defensive comp, and again, a little bit of a Swiss Army life, but Cooper Flagg is a much better prospect than Andre Kirilenko. Although both terrible haircuts.
Ceiling comp. Who do you think they compared him to?
Ceiling comp.
This is real NBA scouts here.
All right, give me, again, give me the
so
the,
he's currently playing. He is a superstar player. He's 6'7".
Superstar player currently playing, do everything.
Bit of an enigma, this guy.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, that's a good guess. I think, is he 6'7"?
Yeah, he's 6'6", 6'7".
Is he?
Yeah, he's tall.
Yeah,
guy.
No, not Jaylen Brown.
Is this a guy who's hurt a lot?
Yes. He is.
Oh, the Claw. It'll be
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Huh.
The NBA front office take is Flagg's really good defensively and can be a game changer on that end pretty much immediately with his size, effort, and IQ. He's always been a very good defender, and the offense is coming along. It's a very similar path to the one Kawhi was on early in his NBA career as a guy who had all these really useful qualities and then entered as a real two-way force as he rounded out his game.
Dude, I can,
that is true.
I can 100% see that.
You kind of forget, Leonard was not,
no,
right out of the gate, no, was not this,
nope,
superstar player.
No, he was he was viewed as an afterthought there, not an afterthought, but he was not the focal point in San Antonio. And then he was a begrudging star. And then, you know, it wasn't really until after he left San Antonio where he kind of, it was viewed as a marquee, and he went up to Toronto and won that title. And, you know, there was a while there where people flirting around and were asking, is he the best player in the league? I think that is a really, really good comp. At his best, what he could be,
yeah.
I could see that, because there was nothing that he couldn't do.
So what about the floor comp? This guy was 6'10", top 5 pick, but he was big and rangy, tall and rangy, length for days, but just was kind of a bonehead. Drug problem.
Is he still in the league?
For a while there, I was thinking like Sean Marion. I was thinking like the
Marion.
Marion, the Matrix. Drug problem.
Yep. That ought to give it away.
Famous drug problem.
Yes.
Famous drug problem.
Yes.
Who am I missing out of famous?
He's not in the league anymore. Helped win some titles.
Oh. Oh. Kardashian boy.
Yep.
Lamar Odom. Okay.
They write, just the ease and comfort level handling the ball on the perimeter. We talk about whether guys are inside players who develop outside or perimeter players who take their game down low. Flagg has had such comfort on the perimeter. Odom filled out and was a late growth spurt guy with ball skills. You love a guy who at 6'10 can play with the faculty of being a 6'3 guard.
I'll tell you right now, if Lamar Odom didn't have his massive drug problem, and that's who you ended up being, there is nothing wrong with that.
He averaged, Odom averaged 17.5 points, 9.5 boards, and 3.8 assists.
Isn't it funny? Like, there was a recent one where someone said that Shedeur Sanders, their comp was Andy Dalton, and people got all pissy about it. And they're like, dude, that's a hell of a career. Like, not everyone goes on to be, you know, Larry Bird or Michael Jordan. And so obviously there's higher expectations on Cooper Flagg than that. And you could say that'd be a disappointment, but if he had Lamar Odom's career minus the drug problem and he played 15 years in the league, that is not a bust. That's far from it. Even if you look at all the number one overall picks, there is nothing wrong with that career minus the, I think it was what he OD'd on like drugstore boner pills.
Wait, is he dead?
No, but he almost died.
Oh.
He was at like the Bunny Ranch and he was on a bunch of drugs and then he was taking boner pills and like synthetic,
was he taking zombie or spice?
Something like that.
He fell off the deep end once him and Chloe broke up.
It was bad.
Broke him.
In his prime comp, now this guy is 6'8". He is a star right now. He went to Duke And there are some similarities with how he was talked about coming out of Duke that compare to Flagg.
Then that'll
it's
be
an interesting one.
I missed on Brown. It'll be Tatum.
It's Jason Tatum
coming out of
Duke. And I think this is a really good comp for Flagg.
Yeah, a little bit of do everything.
Yeah.
And Tatum is. I mean, Tatum, and that what was the always knock on Tatum is that he wasn't great at one particular thing. And it's taken a while for people to appreciate his game, but there is nothing that he can't do.
Well, they at the time when he was coming out of Duke, they were questioning Tatum's shot a lot. But that's obviously he's put that to bed.
Yep.
And they're kind of questioning Flagg right now on that.
Yeah, the only other one I've heard, the shot, and then I've heard some people say that his ball, like he handles the ball a lot at Duke, and they're saying that they don't know if in the NBA if he'll be able to handle the ball nearly as much as he does at Duke. Is he a good enough ball handler to play a point forward type? Because he's probably going to play the four. He'll be a stretch four in the NBA. And is it LeBron where he can bring the ball up and you run your offense through him? Or does he struggle a little bit with that or maybe take some time?
And then the last comp from real NBA, real live NBA scouts for Cooper Flagg of Duke, second star comp, meaning if he is not the number one guy on a team, who is his comp? And this is a pretty obvious one.
Current or former?
Old.
Old. If he's not...
So he's the number two guy on the team.
The number two.
Because he's, I mean, we're all assuming he's going to be the superstar guy of a team. But maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll be a number two.
Chicago?
Yep.
You going Pippen?
Scottie Pippen.
Hmm.
They write, I say Scottie because he could have been a number one guy and was after MJ left, but he became by far the best number two. I think Cooper will be a hell of a number two, but he might need a top 10 player running mate with him. He can obviously prove me wrong, but I don't see him as a number one guy on a championship team in his career.
Well,
that's from a general manager in the East.
It's interesting. The idea of the number two thing, right? Carmelo Anthony just got, he's found out he's going into the Hall of Fame. And Carmelo Anthony is he top 10 all time in scoring?
He's 10th.
10th. So 10th all time, bunch of NBA all-star teams, gold medals. Carmelo Anthony, one of the great scorers in the NBA. He could never take a backseat role, right? Forced his way out of Denver, ended up in New York, couldn't share the spotlight in New York. Even when he was in Houston and Portland, not coming off the bench, I'm the guy, would never play a subservient role. And as good as Carmelo was, Carmelo never really did anything in the league. His team's never threatened anything. He made one conference final, I think, in Denver, and then he forced his way out either the next year or the year after that. Wanted to go play in New York. But when he's with the Olympics, dude, everyone on the Olympics claims Carmelo Anthony was one of the great teammates of all time and one of the great Olympic players of all time because he would defer. Imagine what Carmelo Anthony could have been had he just been a number two, right? As great as Scottie Pippen it was, Scottie Pippen could have been Carmelo Anthony, or he could have been Scottie Pippen. There's nothing wrong with being the number two to someone. And so, it's like, oh, is he a Batman or is he a Robin? God, I'll tell you what. If the idea is to be Carmelo Anthony and be a Batman, or to go be Scottie Pippen and be a Robin to Michael Jordan, or Kobe and Shaq, or Tim Duncan and Ginobili, or Tim Duncan and Parker or whatever, or, you know, any of these guys, go be a Batman somewhere. Go ask anyone if it's fun to do it by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
Pippen versus Melo.
Yeah.
Pippen all day.
Exactly.
I mean, career.
So we just have this,
all day.
This goes back to the, when you compare someone to an Andy Dalton or you compare someone to Lamar Odom, you're like, oh, that's a terrible comp. Why? Why is that a terrible comp? He's never a number one. Cool. He's the best number two of all time. Plenty of Hall of Famers out there were number two guys, and they've got lots of rings and lots of money. And if you're Cooper Flagg, God, you want to go to Washington and just sit by yourself for a number of years? Or would you rather go someplace where you can learn under a true one and kind of grow? Go ask Dame how fun it is to be a one with nothing else around you.
Yeah, like Cooper Flagg coming to Portland and just suckling at the teat of Denny Avdia. Is that what you mean?
That's clearly what I mean. Well, there's another one. This discussion's been going on for a while now of how good Denny is. And I think it was, I don't remember if it was Dirt and Sprague or if it was Danny and Dusty. I forget which one
it
was.
Do you mean Allen and Braden?
Allen and Braden. I think that's who it was. I think it was Allen and Braden. And they said Denny would be a solid two or one of the best threes in the NBA. And then, of course, everyone's, it's ridiculous. And it's so true. You can go be a two or a one and put up 25 a night on a dip-ass team and just empty hollow numbers. Or you can go be the best three in the NBA and try to win NBA championship somewhere. It's like they're not all ones are created equal, not all twos, and not all threes are created equal. Like in the NBA, you can say, oh, this guy's a one, but how many true ones are there that really, really move the needle? Damian Lillard was a first-team All-NBA guy multiple times, and Dame never moved the needle by himself. Giannis was a number one, and Giannis moved the needle. Giannis won a title. LeBron moves the needle. And there's just not many of those guys. So even when you're the one, there's a pecking order. You're like one or you were like 1.6.
Well, you got to give LeBron credit. I heard an interview with him the other day where he said, he said the first thing he told Luka was, we need you to be at your best if we're going to win.
Yeah.
In other words, LeBron is now a number two.
Yes, he is.
I mean,
and
he knows it.
And he's arguably the best two in the league and doesn't try to be the one until he needs
it. He has to. And that's the thing. That's the difference between, one of the differences between LeBron and Melo right there.
Yes. Carmelo Anthony would have been an amazing two or three on a team. He would have.
But wait, somebody said Denny Avdia is a two or a three guy?
Yes.
Star that, on a team?
That's what they were. I think it was Allen and Braden that were saying that Denny could be a average two, but a great three. He should be the third best player on a team.
Is he? I don't know if he's that good.
He could be. But the idea that he could be a dominant two or a dominant one, you're like, okay,
not a chance. Like, no. Who is saying? What is happening?
Welcome to Portland, man. This is what we do. The guy's having a great month, and we're like, oh, my God, how good can he be? You're like, stop it.
Don't you think on a championship team he's like a sixth man?
I think
he could be a starter, but it would be one of the weaker of the five.
I think if you were to look at the Western contenders like right now, and look, he's only 24 years old. He's going to get better. But if you looked at the Western contenders, he is not a two. He is a solid three or a four. In today's NBA, could he grow and develop into something? Maybe, you know, but right now,
all right.
You know,
there's your hot Cooper Flag taco, but I have more. Wait, I have more. I have a trivia question for you. Do you like sports trivia?
Sports. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I bet you don't get this one right.
Oh, let's do it.
You should see it in his eyes, guys. I can tell you he is pissed now.
And someone else
pointed out, challenged.
Like Jaylen Brown, great too. Great two in Boston.
Yeah, and not a one.
And not a one.
He's just not.
If Jaylen Brown decides, F you, I'm going to go lead my own team, dude, welcome to obscurity, Jaylen Brown.
You know who's another great two, I think, and not a one, is Booker.
Yes.
Devin Booker.
Yes. Draymond Green is a phenomenal three. Klay Thompson was a great two. Neither one of those guys would be Hall of Fame players if they had left Golden State. But they stuck around, and they played with a true one in Steph Curry, and were phenomenal twos and threes.
And by the way, for those just tuning in, we are not talking about positions.
Positions, no.
We are talking about second or third best player.
Pecking orders.
On their team, like yes. Jordan Pippen. All right, we'll get to some hot Cooper Flag trivia next. Here's Will.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay. Got a very important trivia question for you sports guys out there. This one comes to us from a friend of mine who lives in Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me this question the other day, and I almost got it. I almost got this.
But you didn't.
But I didn't.
How do you almost get a trivia question?
Because I got close to the year and the player.
Okay. Oh, so we have to... You have to have both.
Yeah, bro.
I don't like the way this is going. I'm terrible with years.
Well, if you get the player, I'll give you credit.
All right.
But he's, of course, a big Cooper Flagg guy because he is the pride of Maine.
Oh, yeah.
Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
He lives out in Portland, Maine. Mm-hmm. And he texted me. He said, do you know who the last white American was drafted number one overall?
It's a good question.
It's a great question.
Because I remember Andrew Bogut went number one, but he was Australian. God bless America. White American, number one.
It's going to be before I was born. So it's going to be...
It's way before you were born.
Going to be like, I would think, in the 80s, early
was
80s.
Was Bird number one?
No, Bird wasn't number one because they got off on some technicality.
That, there was that weird thing like with his draft.
And then he went back to college still, even though he got drafted.
Keep going.
Oh, God. Or was Rick Barry number one?
You know, I don't know, but it was 1977, so Rick Barry would have been before that.
So it would have been before West. So 77 was right before Magic and Bird and those guys.
When the was guy, Walton?
The guy I guessed was... Oh. Walton would have been the early 70s.
Yeah. Oh.
The guy I guessed was Doug Collins.
Oh, that's not bad.
And that was 1979.
And did he go number one overall?
Doug Collins did. Yeah. But that wasn't right because... Or I'm sorry, that was 1975. That was 2 years before this guy. So the last white American drafted number one overall was this guy in 1977. And his name?
I don't know, man. Is it a no? Is it like a
no?
No. So he's just a guy.
His just a dude. His name is Kent Benson.
No idea who that is. Who the hell is Kent Benson?
That's your last white American drafted
really?
Number one overall.
Wow. What an exciting time for the whites right now that Cooper Flagg's coming
well,
in.
Well, I mean, that does tell you this is pretty special.
What an exciting time.
Well, it is. We don't have, I mean, the European guys, the white European guys are a different story.
Yes.
But white Americans,
no,
we don't get
no,
good players like this.
This doesn't happen.
We don't grow these guys.
Who is, I need to know about Kent Benson?
Well, look him up. I don't have any info on him.
I feel like he's a substitute PE teacher or full-time PE teacher now.
Oh, he's a... Boy, I'll tell you what, too. He looks exactly the way you would think Kent Benson looks. He's a center out of Indiana. Kent Benson.
I feel like that guy sucks.
Did he have a career?
I'm looking up at his...
He got drafted number one.
By the way, someone mentioned...
Yeah, he played a bunch. He didn't do... I mean, his best year was 15. He averaged... One year, he averaged 15. But for his career, he was a 9.5 boards. And he played in...
Who drafted him?
Milwaukee, and then he was in Detroit for a while, Utah, and then finished up in
Wait,
Cleveland.
Milwaukee took him in 77?
77.
How did they have the number one pick?
Milwaukee.
Weren't they awesome then?
Well, they
That was like Lou Alcindor years, wasn't it?
That was after they dealt... After they
already,
dealt.
Okay.
Yeah, they got rid of him. Because he was already in, Kareem had already been in L.A. for a couple years when Magic came on board in 79. So, yeah, Bill Walton was the number one pick in 1974, and then Doug Collins.
Yeah, so we had three in a row there.
Yeah.
Like, we were dominant in the 70s. Take that.
Those were our prime white years.
Yeah, well, we haven't had anything since then. They're all Europeans.
No.
And there's not many of them. I mean, how many white guys have gone number one overall, just in general? So you had Bogut.
So I'll go back and look. So this is the number one guys. I got the list here. Scrolling. So Risashe? No.
But he's not white.
Wembanyama, Banchero.
No, just white guys.
I know. I'm just saying these were the number one picks. I just was going through them. White guy. Last white guy.
Yeah, keep scrolling.
Does Bargnani count? He's Italian.
Yes.
There you
go. He's white, wasn't he? I mean, I think.
He's Italian. I mean.
Yes, he's white.
White, yeah.
But not American.
Then there you go. 2006.
Okay, who
else? Back to back. Then Bogut was 05.
Whoa.
So again, 2 years where the whites were, it was an exciting time again. I'm just scrolling.
Caitlin Clark is white.
Scrolling. No.
Anybody in the 80s or 90s?
No. Nope. Other than that really was our only little window there was those two. And then you got to go back to what we were just talking about. Everyone else, not us.
Well, there's your trivia for the day.
There is your trivia for the day.
Yeah, pretty good Kent, trivia question.
And then you're back to Kent Benson, and then a couple years after that, Walton and Collins.
A couple years before that.
Yeah, a couple years before that. So it really is a prestigious time right now with the white American player in
it's a big deal.
Cooper Flagg.
Coop. All right. Let's talk about punchable faces coming up next.
You know a punchable face when you see it.
On the fan. Yeah, final little topic here. Somebody on the text line said John Shire, the coach at Duke, has certainly brought back the punchable Duke face.
Oh, sure.
And that is very true.
100%.
But I would argue that maybe Cooper Flagg also punchable face.
I think Knipple has a more punchable face than Cooper Flagg.
You do now?
I do.
Oh, I don't know about that. Mm. Power rank the punchable faces on Duke.
Well, clearly, Shire has the most punchable face. I mean, I don't even think that's close.
Why do you think? What makes a punchable face?
You just know it when you see it. I don't know how to like. There's something about it when you look at it. You just know that it's smug. it says things like, "Do you know who my dad is?"
But isn't that just Duke?
Well, again, it helps that Duke that you're part of Duke, but it's still a very punchable face. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Shire's one.
Shire's
I think
got it.
I don't see it in Con Knipple.
Really?
I don't. No. I do see it in Cooper Flagg, though.
See, I don't, because when I look at Knipple, and again, maybe I'm being unfair because I think of the whole family, right? Like, do you just look at that family? You know that's an insufferable group. You absolutely know
Well,
it.
But that's not what we're talking. We're talking about punchable faces.
Dude, that guy's got a punchable face.
I don't think he does. I think he just looks like he just looks average.
See, I just think he's more punchable than Cooper Flagg. I find Cooper Flagg to just be like whatever. He just seems.
I think with Flagg, it's his mouth. I don't know. There's just, it's punchable, but it's no John Shire.
No. Now,
although any white coach at Duke is going to have a punchable face. Like, I just feel like I'm trying to think of a coach. Like, if Nate Oates were the coach at Duke,
yeah,
wouldn't we say he has a punchable face?
It's possible.
Because he's at Duke.
But Coach K had the most punchable face of all time.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's not even close. Like, when I think of punchable faces, again, it just goes back to there's a smugness to it, which is probably why you think of Duke or Ivy League kids. That's, like, if you're like a regular dude, I don't know. You never think about that, but it's the person out in Lake O that tells you that you can't be on the lake because you're poor. Golfers, I think, have very punchable faces. It's the elites.
You know, Shire almost went to UNLV.
See, I can't see that.
In 2021?
Mm.
Yeah. That's what they said. They said Duke almost didn't get him.
And I contend, and by the way, this has nothing to do with politics at all.
He also thought he was going to get the DePaul job. Did you know that?
I did.
He thought he was going to get it.
Yes.
And then he didn't, and then he was about to go to UNLV.
Yeah.
But UNLV, I guess, didn't offer him or something. And so Duke just like, all right, we'll take you.
Why not?
Pretty good.
Yes.
I have to walk back my statement that I think he's overrated.
The most punchable face in the world.
In the world.
It has nothing to do with politics. But tell me that there's anyone that looks at that and be like, oh my God, he needs one.
Affluenzatine?
Don Jr.
Oh, Don Jr.
Don Jr. has the most punchable face in the world. It might be the most punchable face of all time.
What about J.D. Vance?
Boy, that is punchable.
I mean, look, I get it. He likes like a little cherub or whatever.
See, I find J.D. Vance to look quite pleasant.
Just like I said, he's got a little cherub face. When any time you see a photo of Donald Trump Jr., you're like, oh my God, I want to plant one of these. It's the stepbrothers thing. I don't know what it is, but there's something about it that just makes you want to put one of these right in your kisser.
Now, why is his face more punchable than Eric Trump's face?
I don't know. I mean, they both look similar, but there's just, I'm sorry, Eric Trump does not look anywhere near as punchable. Same thing with Donald. None of the kids. It's something about Donald Trump Jr. When you look at him, you're like, oh my God, I want to smack you. The Paul brothers, incredibly punchable faces. Incredibly. And Jake more than Logan. Logan looks more, he's fine. Jake Paul might be number two on the planet of most punchable faces.
Jake sucks more than Logan, though. Like, Jake deserves it.
They have a new reality show. Did you see that?
That thing's going to suck.
It's on I think it's on Max.
It's on Max. It's going to suck. Paul American.
Yeah, Paul American.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
get like it.
All American.
I see what you're doing. I just can't.
Well, it's not me. It's them.
Yeah, I can't. I can't buy into whatever they have going on. They're great marketers. They make money. Good for them.
He was on Disney.
It's insane.
Jake Paul was a Disney actor.
Someone said Google Shire Face.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, do that.
Is that when he was playing? Because he was.
Yes.
He was a yeller. Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen those.
When he was playing, he had a face that.
Yeah.
Just Google it. It's
yeah.
It's a whole nother level.
Anytime you see a photo of him from Duke, he's screaming and yelling.
It was his mouth is wide open.
Yeah.
Like he's real intense.
Yep.
Like.
And he's Eli got
kind of this curled lip.
Incredible punchable face.
Eli.
He's another one.
Yeah, that is
you
true.
Just look at him, you're like, oh my God.
Kind of dopey.
Yeah, I just want to punch you right in the face. Hmm. You know it when you see it. Who
someone
was the, who was the guy that was remember the guy that was like raising insulin prices?
Shkreli. Martin Shkreli.
Again.
Yeah, very punchable.
That
Pharma
guy,
bro.
100% needs to get socked in the face.
All right. What an hour. I'm worn out.
You're all tired.
Radio's hard.
It's exhausting.
You got to say the thing, man.
I just think you like watching Will.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
And that's why he does it.
I know. I've already messed up once, and now I'm on edge.
Will's
and
just sitting there. He doesn't quite know what to do, and Rob's just, just leaving you out to dry.
There's nothing wrong with a nice little pause.
I almost feel bad for Will in there.
You should feel bad.
Except you're wearing a backwards Hooters hat, so I don't feel bad for you. But other than that, I do. And Rob's just doing
it's a shame that you're body shaming me right now. I don't like what you're doing.
And Rob's
I'm calling
just doing
HR. Calling HR to complain.
He's just letting you bleed out.
All right. The club is next. We'll talk about the 4-day work week, who will play the young James Bond, and a Val Kilmer follow-up on The Fan.